B-Pod Studios.
It's time now for the Gargano and Martinez Midday Show with Anthony Gargano and Jason Martinez. It starts now.
Pull your head out of your ass!
Oh, my.
So quit asking.
Good morning, everybody. Happy Valentine's Day to all across the Delaware Valley.
Happy Valentine's Day to my wife. I ran out this morning. I get a note from her. What? No goodbye? No happy Valentine's Day? I'm like, woke up a little groggy.
Yes, mentally happy Valentine's Day to all. All right, take care of your loved one. It's a beautiful, heart-shaped day today. And for us, it's going to be different. We're going to do the typical, which I actually enjoy, which is the Philadelphia athlete now and forever that you love and why.
Yeah.
Which I've always enjoyed, because it's always about the player or the coach or the figure that we talk about.
The connection.
Yeah,
I mean,
man.
The connection you draw, because it's not just, hey, I like you because you can throw a fastball 98 and cut.
Right.
Or I like you because you're a fast runner and great on punt returns or whatever. It goes well beyond. Like, it's fun to on this day, too, to kind of park any negativity.
Yes.
You know, park it outside. Let's leave it out there for today. You know, the game
last
night.
We do have a heavy subject that we got to get into.
Yeah.
That's going to be.
It's about your love of the game.
It is. Yeah. It's going to be really difficult to have this conversation.
Yeah. It's not one that you're going to go, well, this is kind of fluffy.
Yeah.
It's real deal stuff. But, you know, it is Valentine's Day. And, you know, you and I are very blessed because we do something we love because we talk about the thing that we love dearly. And that's sports. Like, we love sports dearly. The people that tune into this radio, they love it. Like, it's such a big part.
Yeah,
and in this city, right?
Yeah.
I mean, we're going to talk about individual players and teams and moments and everything. But when you think about it, we just love sports.
That's it. It boils down to that ultimately, we just love sports.
Yeah.
We love everything about it.
Could you imagine, like, not being a sports fan and not having this? Because it fills you up in every part of your soul, mind, and physicality. Everything. Yeah. There's physiological effects to being a sports fan. And, like, to have it and, you know, to be in a city, too, again, like, we're in Philadelphia. We have pronounced seasons of weather, and we have pronounced seasons of sports.
Yeah.
And we're on the rise. So, like, I'm in love with the Philadelphia sports scene right now. Like, you always love it, but are you in love with it? You know what I mean?
Totally.
I'm in love with what's happening and everything. Like, I can't wait for Carson to come back.
Yeah, it's going to be. It's true. Like, you talk about a fun season to look forward to.
Oh.
There's going to be some change.
Mm-hmm.
It's going to be Carson's team. And there's going to be some additions. He's going to have a wide receiver.
I can't wait to see the running backs.
And the running back. Yeah, I mean, you know, again, and it's funny because when you think about it, that's so far away.
Mm-hmm.
You got, like, I'm enjoying Celtics game aside. And last night, because it became a game against that garbage Knicks team.
Yeah, they were out the door. That's why. You know, it's like, oh, we're at the break. Let's just get this. Let's get out of here.
Well, I mean, like, they get up like 25, and yet again, they allow a team to come back and, you know, whatever. They made it actually somewhat of a game. They got within six last night.
Yeah. Well, to me, that's also the emotion of the night before.
Yeah, they were never going to. I mean, listen. They were never going to blow the lead.
Yeah.
But it is the All-Star break, and they were trying to get out to the All-Star break, and I get that. I understand that. But, you know, I'm in love with this Sixer team, and I'm dying to, you know, we're riding high.
Yeah.
You know, we're riding high throughout the rest of this season. So we got that. We got a Phillies team that's going to be a fun team.
You got to give Klentak we got to give him a little tap on the rear end here. I mean, we don't know about Harper or Machado yet. We don't know. And we know that they're putting their best foot forward.
Yeah, but that's not.
That's Middleton.
Yeah, I mean, that's not even him. Listen, I like what he did. I like what he did with Robertson. I mean, the fact that he made catcher a priority And he knew that you can't go further with Alfaro.
And middle infield with Segura.
Yeah, no.
And getting rid and admitting the mistake of Santana is a big... I think sometimes admitting a mistake is almost better than what you do.
I agree. And the fact that he was able to get rid of Santana in a trade in which which was a net positive the way it was with Segura was really impressive.
Yeah, and now you put Reese in his natural spot. You have him at first base, and everything starts to fall together.
He righted his initial wrong, and he's done well. I mean, I like this team. I like it a lot.
I have always, I think you've heard me say this, because in my life in management, I would always say the guys that I loved working for were the guys that never wanted to double down on a mistake.
Yeah.
They recognized it was a mistake and said, okay, if it's not right, let's just eliminate it. We'll deal with that later. Yeah, but let's get the right thing there, whatever it might be.
I agree. I think you're right about that.
Yeah, that's the difference between a grade A manager and a grade B.
Yeah. No, I'm with you. I think there's something to it. I agree with that. And he's done a good job, and that's why this team is arcing again in the same way. I think they're going to be... I think they could win the division and almost should win the division if they get Harper. But even without Harper, they're going to be a fun team to watch.
Oh, look, they're improved, incredibly improved from what they were last year. And, like, you talk about, like, loving guys. Like, I really want to, like, get into liking Gabe Kapler. Like, I'm so intrigued by him, but I don't know if I like him yet. Like, I don't know
if
I want
to... Do you think... So, you met the media yesterday.
Yeah.
And... he was asked about that incident in Los Angeles, and he didn't. He basically said, "No, I'm not talking about it." And do you think he should have addressed it?
I think he should have addressed it with some kind of prepared, 30-second answer.
You know, you're going to be asked the question.
Yeah,
it's an investigation that's hovering around you.
Yeah, I mean, I would say I'm not going to let it, take my eye off what we have to accomplish here at spring training. But, I believe in that I did the right things, and all the information's going to come out, and we'll deal with it then.
Right, it'll be vindicated. Or whatever.
Yeah, just kind of say something, because it is there.
Well, and he does say a lot. That's the problem. Like, he talks a lot.
Yeah, and he talked about his clubhouse is going to be a lot tighter this year and a lot more serious. And, he's a guy I want to fall in love with. But let me ask you, because...
I don't know. I look at him and you know what? I could see you liking him. I don't know. I don't know that you can love Kapler.
Because you had Charlie.
I can't. Like, again, you're right.
Love Charlie.
I mean, that was my man.
Yeah.
Still my guy.
Yeah.
But, listen, you can separate and go, I don't like Kapler a ton, what a great baseball guy. But I think he's so robotic sometimes. Like, he's kind of robotic. Even though he's Mr. Positive, he still does it in an almost like an automatron way.
Like protected? Like, he's got a wall up a little bit?
Yeah, like, I don't know. Like, are you real?
Yeah, that's the thing. I don't know what's real and what's not.
Right. So, I don't know. I don't know how close you can get with him.
Yeah. I think he's, like, an interesting case study. And you've said it. Like, I'd love to sit down a couple pops with him and kind of really dig into that brain.
Without a doubt. Like, that would be an interesting conversation. Like, that's a guy I'd like to have a conversation. Like, you look at Brett Brown. Now, he's under a lot of scrutiny in the whole thing.
Sure, yeah.
And I know people go, stop saying it, you love him. But I'm sorry. I make no apologies. I love the man. I think the guy is just a terrific soul.
Yeah.
Like, I do. I think the guy's a great guy.
He's good people.
Yes. And he's a guy that's an easier guy that you could get next to. You can understand. Because
it's relatable.
He's all about the EQ. Doug. Does it get...
Oh.
I mean, seriously, Doug's the ultimate guy.
Yeah.
We talk about the EQ. I mean, that's all Doug.
Yeah, and no wall up with Doug. He is as real as it gets.
Zero. And that, to me, is why he's a great coach.
And it's so endearing. That's what's endearing about it. Like, winning's great, and that makes you endearing in a lot of ways. But the way he carries himself... And, like, I'll go back to after that last game when the cameras caught him standing outside the locker room and hugging every player as they came in. To me, that goes so far. And it's one of those things that a lot of times I'd make fun of.
Right.
Oh, geez, you kidding me? But in that moment, with what they went through, and when you really look at collectively what happened this year, to me, that was like an exclamation point that, like, guys, I always have your back. And guys, and those guys appreciate it. So we'll talk about, the guys that you love right now. Maybe the guy that you love in sports right now is not a Philadelphia athlete. Maybe it's a golfer. that you go, oh my God, I gotta watch this.
Yeah.
Maybe it's a soccer player, maybe it's a tennis player, maybe it's Federer, I don't know.
Well, it's why we all got in trouble, why we fell in love with sports, is you fell in love with the gladiators. You fell in love with the participants.
Yeah, no question. Jeff Passan's going to talk. We're going to check in with him at 11:30 today. Get the latest on everything around the baseball world. Also, we're going to have Carter Hart on. Just waiting on a time right now. They practice at noon today. So on Valentine's Day, we'll talk to a guy that a lot of people are falling in love with, Ant, Carter Hart.
Listen, he's got a great jersey number.
79.
You know, like that's a great jersey number. You know, it's funny because, like, that's a number you can own.
Because nobody else owns it.
Right?
Yeah. Like, 99 when Gretzky came in, it was like, okay. And nobody can touch it ever since.
Exactly.
Yeah. That's a good point. And the whole story behind it with the autistic kid.
Yeah.
Who bought the jersey.
Beautiful, yeah.
Yeah, it's great. And he honored it. And so we'll talk to Carter Hart at some point.
And I wanted to tell that story for those that didn't hear it.
Yeah, absolutely. 610-632-0975. That's the number to get in. We want to hear from people today on what you love, who you love, and why you love.
And that will also recap Sixers at the break and where they're headed. What you think? Now, you had a day to sit on the Celtics game. You saw the Knicks last night. So, heading into the break, where you at with them?
Yeah, you have a day to calm down, right?
I need to know your expectations.
610-632-0975. That's Anthony Gargano. I'm Jason Martinez. Well, let's get to Jeff Passan right now, and it's a good opportunity to approach Jeff. It's part of the main set of MLB insiders reporting the hottest league news during SportsCenter's Baseball Tonight Report, a new daily SportsCenter segment that joins Baseball Tonight's year-long coverage of high-profile events, and it started on Monday, and it's going to run through the season. So Jeff joins us right now on the Comcast Business Hotline. Jeff, wow, it's been an interesting offseason of waiting and seeing in Major League Baseball. What's kind of your perspective on what's happened so far and what hasn't happened so far, and when we'll get some action?
And waiting and waiting and waiting and waiting and seeing and waiting and waiting.
So much for your vacation.
I was going to say, there's no such thing as vacation on the baseball calendar anymore. It used to be that, like, in January, I could take some time with my family. Nope, not anymore. And it's frustrating for fans, too, because I think by now, people in Philadelphia are hopeful that Bryce Harper or Manny Machado is going to sign with the Phillies, but they're throwing their hands up. There's just like a permanent question mark there as to what's going to happen, when's it going to happen, how's it going to happen. And listen, my job is to know these things, and I feel the exact same way.
Yeah, it's like, what are you going to do? Because it's at the whim of Boris, and it's the whim of Harper and Machado. Neither wants to go first. They all want multiple years to, you know, long-term deals, monster deals. The shame of it, Jeff, is that there is no, it's not encapsulated like other sports. Like, you knew where LeBron was going, you know, even before free agency in the NBA. And people look forward to it that week. There was a payoff. And now there's no payoff. That's really hurting the sport.
And there's going to be a payoff eventually. And I think that's what baseball is expecting and hoping that, you know, we've been talking baseball throughout the offseason, right? It's like, it's been frustrating conversation, but baseball has been in the news because of whatever various reports you see on who's talking with whom. But it's a very dissatisfying type of conversation because there's no finality to it, and you don't know when that finality is going to come.
Right. Like,
and accordingly, I think there's frustration among baseball fans due to that. And that is a problematic thing when you've got a game already that on the field struggles to capture a particular audience, especially a younger audience. And now, when you add the free agent element to it just being slow, it's like all parts of baseball want to mimic what's going on the field.
I know. The problem is the true baseball fan is enraged, and we'll have this conversation. But that true baseball fan is becoming more and more in the minority, and ambivalence sets in with everyone else that goes, whatever, you know, I'm past it. Like, there comes a point where you go, like, I'm over it. I don't care. Tell me when it happens.
Where baseball has a problem right now is that in the NBA, You are a fan of a team, yes, but you're also interested in the game writ large.
Yes.
And in the NFL, again, you're a fan of your team, but you're curious what's going on around the league. I don't get that same feeling with baseball. It's a very parochial sport right now. And among the problems that it has, I think that is the chief one and the one that baseball needs to deal with because, man, it's hard to be a baseball.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Baseball fans sometimes when something like free agency, which should be the most exciting time of the year outside of October, gets reduced to this.
Jeff Passan, ESPN, joining us on the Comcast Business Highline. Jeff, so what's the fix? We see some players speaking out. Justin Verlander spoke out just the other day on Twitter. So did Pat Neshek. Also, you look at other guys that are weighing in on this now. Clayton Kershaw. What is the fix? Does baseball recognize and Rob Manfred recognize the problem and potentially have a solution to get the things kind of moving in the right direction?
You know, I think they do recognize that it's a problem. I just don't know that there's an easy fix to it necessarily. And I know that's a dissatisfying conclusion, but you really need to change the economics of the game in order for that to happen. And look, maybe the economics will change. But right now, there's anger among the players because they feel like they are not being paid what they should be getting paid. And, you know, you can argue. It was interesting hearing you guys talk about it that, you know, Harper wants a long-term deal, Machado wants a long-term deal. You can see why they do because historically, guys in their position with the kind of achievement that they've had receive big deals for lots of years.
You go back to A-Rod.
And I'm glad you brought that up because the largest two free agent contracts in history both belong to Alex Rodriguez. The first one that he got, and this to me is the most interesting point that can be made by players. The first one Alex Rodriguez got was in 2000. So we're talking almost 20 years now for $252 million. Back then, Major League Baseball's annual revenues were about $3.3 billion. If we adjust that for inflation, they've gone up by about 50%. So present-day money, that's about $5 billion. Major League Baseball last year took in close to $10 billion, somewhere in that range. So revenues have more or less doubled. You would think, as revenues double, salaries are going to double with it. And yet the largest contract ever given out to a free agent is Alex Rodriguez's second deal, $275 million. And players looking for even 10% more than that, you know, something in the $300 million vicinity, are being told, nah, you know, we're not going to do that. And I know that Manny Machado and Bryce Harper are not Alex Rodriguez in his prime. But they're 26-year-old, you know, MVP candidates perennially.
Yeah.
And so the idea that they're not even worth 10% more when revenues have gone up almost 100%, it's stunning to me. And you can see why the players have a beef. The problem, guys, is that when players who are being offered contracts for hundreds of millions of dollars are essentially being martyred, like, that's just not a look that's
right.
Going
you can't
to
get
play
sympathy.
With the public.
It's so true.
Yeah.
No. And it's why it always strikes me, and I'm confused by this. I'm legitimately confused why when players look for more money, they're called greedy.
Yeah.
But why when owners keep more money, they're businessmen.
Yeah, no, it's always been that. Look, I covered the strike in 84 and then 94. As a beat writer, and remember when the World Series was canceled, Jeff, and it was like, you're not really going to cancel the World Series. This will be a...
Right.
It's like canceling Christmas.
I remember thinking it would do, you know, just like incredible harm to the sport, and it survived. And as you point out, Jeff, it's flourished because of the insatiable need for content on television and something that's not DVRable. And they own it. Right? I mean, you got the content right here.
And the tough part about it is that players, as right as their perspectives may be, just are not winning the messaging.
No.
They're getting crushed with that. And it's going to listen, this is not going to be something that gets fixed overnight either. This is going to take if players have a shot at getting the sympathy of fans, it's something that's going to take a decade at least. And you have to be so consistent with your message.
Yeah.
You have to be so strong with your message. And that's something that the MLBPA right now is failing at. And it's a difficult message to put out there, but it's one that is vitally important if you're a player. And I as right as I think Justin Verlander is, I don't think going about it the way that the players are right now is the right tack.
That's a great point. Jeff Passan with us, ESPN on the Comcast Business Hotline. Jeff, there's one, like to me, the best for the sport is too radical. And let me throw it by you. Look, if what worked for the NBA is the playoffs, right? The 2.5 months of playoffs, the sport is so much better in the playoffs, right?
Yeah.
You know, like you play, you defend every possession, and there's nothing better than playoff baseball because every pitch matters, right? You grind out every at bat. What they should do, obviously, is to go to 122, wherever you want to do, 121, and then extend the playoffs for 2 months, but it's such a dramatic change, they'll never do it. And you're missing what's the best of the sport, which is the playoffs.
Listen, I am all for expanded playoffs. That's fine with me. You know, the more teams that are in it, not just at the end of the year, but throughout the regular season, it incentivizes the regular season. The problem with that is the calendar. And if the playoffs started September 15th and you had a 154-game season or a 150-game season, cool, great, works for me. And I would love something like that. But the problem with that is, number one, it messes with the record books a little bit. And you know how important records are in baseball.
Mm-hmm.
And beyond that, I think the issue is it's very simple.
Yeah.
Baseball's loath to change.
Yeah.
Like baseball, you know, right now we're talking about putting a pitch clock in place. And I think that's going to happen. I think there's going to be a 20-second pitch clock in Major League Baseball in 2019. But it's going to be not over the dead bodies of players, but there's going to be some contention there. And the players are going to try to extract as much as they possibly can in negotiating with Rob Manfred about this, knowing that the commissioner can unilaterally implement things on the field. And so if he wants a pitch clock to be in place, and he does, there's going to be a pitch clock in place.
Jeff, last question for you, a quick 30-second answer. We're kind of up against it, but Harper and Machado, where do they end up?
God, I get asked this all the time.
It's the question of the offseason.
Here's the thing. I have zero faith in my answer whatsoever. I will say this much, though. I do believe one of them ends up in a Philadelphia Phillies uniform this year and in the forthcoming years. And I don't know if that's a satisfactory answer, but it's the best one I got.
That's a good answer. Phillies team to beat in the NL East, with or without?
I think, without, arguably. The NL East is going to be a bloodbath this year. I'm more than any division, I'm looking forward to watching the East this year. Because you know what? Teams in the East want to freaking win. And amid the backdrop of all of this free agent crap that's been going on, that's been the one thing that I think players need to emphasize more than the money that they're making. The fact that the anti-competitiveness, at least on the free agent market among teams, has been problematic. That has not been the case in the National League. The Phillies have spent The Mets have gone out and gotten better. The Nationals have spent more than anyone this offseason. The Braves, I think, still have a big guy to go out and get, whether it's Keuchel or Kimbrel, or even Harper or Machado, conceivably. The East is going to be fun this year, and I'm really looking forward to it.
Well, Jeff, we appreciate it. It was a lot of fun. ESPN, we'll be checking you out on ESPN, and we really appreciate the time today.
Pleasure's mine, boys. Take care.
There he is. Thanks, Jeff Passan. Great info.
It's time now for the Bring the Heat line.
It's hot. Damn hot.
I don't want a hot take.
I'll argue with you all day long.
Bring the Heat is brought to you by American Standard Heating and Air Conditioning. Stay warm this winter and visit AmericanStandardAir.com to find an experienced heating and air conditioning dealer near you.
Okay.
To leave a message for Anthony and Jason, call 610-771-9751.
I want to see people rip their heart out of their chest.
Now, bring the heat.
Let's go.
All right, it is time for Bring the Heat, 610-771-9751. Leave your messages there, and we'll go through them. We find the best of the best. They make it on the show. Bobo ones don't make it on the show. And we'll see if the OK guy made it on the show today. He hit a pretty good point that he's done. He was done with Brett Brown. I'm done. OK.
Let's
see what we got there.
OK.
And then you got Bernie's OK.
Anthony, are you serious? You're really suggesting that Brett Brown's lack of coaching ability was because he didn't want to show the Celtics all of his cards? Who do you think we are? 72 Lakers or the Jordan-led Chicago Bulls? We're not that good. Brett Brown sucks. He's got to go.
Oof. It is a strategy that you would employ. I've seen coaches do it. So I'm not telling you that's what he did. But the Sixers have great talent on that team. Who are you talking about? We're not that good. They have the second best five in the NBA. So my only point is maybe he's sandbagging in case there's a series. I don't know. I'm trying to come up with a reason. I don't know why you play Furkan Korkmaz in the first quarter. Why you would play at all? I don't know.
Okay. Yeah, we're going to beat the Knicks. We're going to beat the Atlanta Hawks. We're going to beat, the inferior teams and some second-level teams. But we're not going to be playing those teams in the playoffs. We're going to be playing the Celtics, the Raptors, the Bucks, the Pacers. These are very good teams. These are teams that give us problems. I'm just trying to let you know that Brett Brown has to get better defensively.
Yeah, I agree. 100%.
No doubt.
100%. I agree. Look, the referendum is on. I hear you.
It is the Brett Brown referendum.
From here until the end of the season, the end of the playoffs, is the referendum on Brett.
We're going to learn all we need to know.
I've said it all year, right? This is it. This is the year. He's got the team. He's got immense talent. He's got to figure it out. And I agree. Defensively, they're a mess. You can't have Boston just move the ball like that and exploit at will anytime you have JJ, God forbid, JJ and TJ on the floor at the same time. Boston exploits it every time.
Yeah, Brad Stevens is the mad scientist.
Hey, Brett Brown, thanks for hearing our grievances about Korkmaz. You didn't play him not one stinking second. And to end the game, I love those Eagles chants.
Yeah, that's cool. That was cool. But that was planned to have no Korkmaz. It was Ennis Day. Ennis the Menace.
Instead, last night was Ennis Day. Against the Knicks.
I don't know why. I don't know why you play Korkmaz against Boston. And like, if you want to play Korkmaz, you play him against the Knicks. You know what? You should know. You shouldn't need to find out what Korkmaz is going to do against the Celtics.
The kid is a baller.
When I saw his ass checking into the game,
it's just 6 minutes in the first quarter.
What? What's happening here?
Dude, you should have seen me screaming.
I couldn't believe it. I'm like, why is Korkmaz coming into the game in the first substitution? The time it's happening. It's going to happen in 6 minutes because it always does. You know what I'm saying?
I know. Nuts.
Oh, he's not going to be back.
I know.
Like, you already axed his option.
Yeah, you renounced it. Yeah.
So what's the point of playing him?
Yeah, I don't know.
I don't understand anything. I don't get his rotation. Yo, tomorrow, I want to ask, because we're going to do Sixers at the break tomorrow, and I had a conversation with a dear friend of mine whom I respect, and it's going to be EQ versus X and O.
Okay, I like that.
It's four letters. It's the two-letter fight. EQ versus X and O.
Okay, I'm in with that.
Anthony, take Jason's man card away. During Sixers Celtics, he's tweeting out about Flyers, Minnesota. You've got to be effing kidding me. What a joke.
Kiss my ass.
Oh, dude, do you follow me on Twitter, okay, guy?
Dude, where's the okay?
Yeah, he didn't get the okay in there.
I apologize.
You cut off the okay?
It was a little muffled. It wasn't a good okay.
Sucks.
He didn't bring it. Man. All right, he didn't bring it.
Okay, but I need to know who the okay guy is. He's got to identify himself on Twitter because clearly he follows me. And okay guy, clearly you would have known that I tweeted out about both teams during the twin bill that night between the Minnesota Wild and the Sixers and the Celtics. And if you don't get it by now, you friggin' moron, that I'm going to tweet about hockey. All right? I don't care if the man just landed on the moon. If there's a game going on, I cover the team. I do the games, you meathead. Okay.
I'm here to bring some summer heat with some baseball. Listen up. I hear a lot about Bryce Harper, but Manny Machado playing third base next to who? One of his friends, Gene Segura, shortstop. Reese Hoskins going back to first base. Cesar Hernandez can stick it and pick it at second base. And G.T. Ramuto as catcher. Come on now. Stud infield. I'll see you guys later. Love the show.
Nice, brother.
Oh.
I wish you would have said J.T., not G.T., but we get you.
Yeah, I think he tried to mess that up like a little bit.
That's all right. Ramuto. Sometimes it just comes out right.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.